sometimes you can have something wrong with your health and not know it. You might have a diffuse range of kind of odd things going on for you physically that you've noticed, but they maybe don't seem related or don't seem to add up to anything. 70% of women who have polycystic ovarian syndrome don't know they have it. And it's polycystic ovarian syndrome, or PCOS, that we're going to spend a bit of time talking about now. Dr. Sonia Davison is an endocrinologist from the Jean Hales Foundation. Hello, Sonia.
Hello.
What is polycystic ovarian syndrome, and why is having it, whether you know it or not, a problem?
It's a very common hormonal problem in reproductive age women, but can extend after that time. It's essentially a very strangely named syndrome, but it's a hormonal problem where women tend to not ovulate or produce eggs very rarely, and therefore periods can be irregular or absent or very erratic. It also is associated usually with excess male-type hormones, which we normally make, but they have consequences such as excess facial or body hair growth, acne or oily skin, and in some women, scalp hair loss.
It's not an attractive collection of things, is it?
And it's a rotten thing because this is usually something that comes about in 20s or teenage years, and women do not want to be hairy, and there is another part of this, they tend to be overweight. But having said that, there's a broad spectrum. Some are very thin and have acne. Some are overweight, have a lot of excess hair growth and never have periods. And fertility is a big part of this as well for those who want to achieve pregnancy.
So what causes it?
We don't know. If I knew that, I'd be a very famous lady, I think.
Idiopathic.
There are genetic links, definitely. Yeah. Often I'll see the girl sitting with me with her mum, and you can see that mum has it as well. There are racial links as well, so Indigenous women, Asian women as well, African-American women. So there are links there, but we just don't know of a particular cause.
So do we know how common it is? I mean, if as I mentioned, lots of women have it or are undiagnosed, what do you know about its prevalence?
Just to make things even more difficult, there are three sets of criteria to diagnose this condition, and various people around the world look at different criteria. But effectively, there was a study in Australian women of about 750 women. One set of criteria said it was 8%, another said about 18%, and another set of criteria said about 12%. So I think we can say up to 18%, which is a lot of women. Mm. And we are getting bigger as a society, because we're not moving as much, etc. And women, when they put on weight, can have this syndrome sort of manifest.
Well, recently, I think the guidelines in Australia for diagnosing polycystic ovarian syndrome have been updated. Is that right?
It's not more about the diagnosis. It's more about the management. Mm-hmm. So there are various things that we do in recognising this syndrome, in saying what is normal, and guidance for GPs as to what's good for treatment, for fertility and for other things. So it's more about general guidance. This is not an easily diagnosed syndrome.
Well, I was going to say, is it actually with that sort of set of possibilities, is it easy to miss?
Women will know there's something wrong, but they will go to GPs and GPs will still get it wrong. And even the ultrasound finding of polycystic ovaries, up to a third of normal women can have that. So I have women come with the ultrasound, oh, I've got polycystic ovaries. Well, you might do, but you don't have the syndrome. And I've got other women who have the syndrome, clearly, but their ovaries are normal. So it's a really poorly...
So how do you get a definitive diagnosis?
By having two out of three of those criteria, excuse me, that we mentioned before. So it doesn't matter what set of criteria you use, it's two out of three, or some of the criteria you have to have two of the sets of the excess hormones, the male type hormones, the acne or excess hair, and the problems with ovulation are the mainstay of this. The polycystic ovaries on an ultrasound doesn't really matter.
Right. Now, Sonia, as I understand it, something that's sort of underlying in this syndrome, I think, is insulin resistance.
We think this underpins the whole syndrome. So that's effectively really, it's hard to explain, but having too much insulin that doesn't work very effectively and that insulin changes the ovaries from a normal functioning ovary into an ovary that doesn't, and also makes increased male type hormones, which bring about the symptoms which will bring a lady to sit in my office and have a problem.
Well, let's hear a voice memo now from someone who's had polycystic ovarian syndrome for a few years now.
Hi, my name's Samantha and I was diagnosed with PCOS when I was 21. Signs and symptoms that I had when I was growing up was amenorrhea, so irregular menstrual cycles, a lot of abdominal cramping and a lot of fatigue. I was quite tired all the time and I still get a lot of abdominal cramps. I was diagnosed by my gynecologist, where I had to have several ultrasounds done and blood tests to check hormone levels. Managing my PCOS these days is quite difficult. A lot of PCOS sufferers are given insulin-based medication to help manage their weight, but unfortunately this actually makes me quite sick, so I'm left to look at my exercise and my diet to see if I can change things that way and try and lose a bit of weight, which is unfortunately quite difficult.
Well, many thanks, Samantha, for providing that voice memo to us. Dr. Sonia Davison, that link to insulin resistance, what other health impacts does that mean polycystic ovarian syndrome brings?
So usually if they do have weight excess, they are therefore at risk for impaired glucose tolerance or step towards type 2 diabetes. That doesn't mean they're all going to get it, but they definitely are at risk, especially when there is that excess weight. And as Samantha said, do you know what? Lifestyle is an extremely important part of management of polycystic ovary syndrome, and even a 5 to 10% weight, and if that's 100 kilos, because some of these girls are 100 kilos and struggle with weight, that's about a 5 to 10 kilo weight loss, which you can do with real concerted effort. That will turn the hormones around for some women and reduce their problems and also reduce their risk of insulin problems and type 2 diabetes and probably heart disease.